Do you ever feel stuck, like you're living your life on autopilot? Are you ready to shift into high gear and reach the success you so richly deserve? Welcome to the Play Big Movement podcast. I am your host, Sharon Lecter, entrepreneur, business strategist, and best-selling author. Playing big is not about settling for good enough or being comfortable. It is about reaching your highest potential and achieving your greatest success. Join me in my Play Big movement as I interview top experts in business, money, and entrepreneurship, all ready to serve you and to help you play big, be number one in your field, live your legacy, and create maximum impact. Hi, everybody. Welcome to this episode of the Play Big Movement podcast with Sharon Lecter. I have a new friend today who has a very shared passion of mine, very much supportive of the whole concept of Think and Grow Rich and Napoleon Hill and his work with the foundation. So I'm excited to meet David and introduce him to you because we have very similar outlooks on life, and that is following the principles of Napoleon Hill. So David Ibarra has quite a background, humble beginnings of a Mexican immigrant father and a rural Utah mother. So interesting to hear more about that. And they divorced at a very young age, but he became a very self-made man and has had quite the history of creating incredible businesses and now furthering the communication through his new book, which is very exciting. And I'm anxious for you to tell us more, David. So would you, it's called Stop Drifting. So for those of you that are Outwitting the Devil fans, you know that drifting is what Napoleon Hill talks about in Outwitting the Devil. So David, tell us a little bit more about little David and how you got to where you are today.
Well, first, let me thank you for inviting me on this show. You know, in talking about my beginning, it was non-traditional for sure. My brother and I were placed in foster care at the age I was two. My brother Mickey was three, and our mother felt that she couldn't handle the responsibility of raising two young brown boys in the state of Utah. And now my dad came from Mexico at 15 years old to pick fruit in Spanish Fork, Utah, as a migrant farm laborer. And as a teenager, young 20s, he met the young woman, white Mormon from Salina, Utah. And in Utah, in many parts of our country at that time, the mixture just wasn't acceptable. It just wasn't accepted. It wasn't a thing to do. And there was a lot of criticism and looks and things that were hard for them to overcome, and they just didn't make it. So we end up in, dad gets drafted right after they get the divorce, sent overseas. And my mother chooses to give us up and drop us off and frankly, not ever to return until later in our life. So, you know, you have to try to figure that out as to why, where are you in this circumstance? And we spent the first 14 years of our childhood in this non-traditional foster care system. And it was difficult. It was difficult.
Oh, I cannot imagine. So my heart goes out for you. But yet at the same time, you took that and realized that if you were going to accomplish something, you were going to accomplish it on your own. Mm-hmm. So tell us, and you and your brother stayed together, I understand. So tell us a little bit about how you got from that 14 years in foster care to where you were standing independent.
Well, I tell you, you know, I always tried to, even from an early age, prior to becoming a disciple of Dr. Hill's work, I always learned from my dad that things are the way they are. And you can moan and groan about them, or you can quickly begin to look for the equivalent benefit. There's got to be a lesson here. And mine starts with a memory, the first memory that my dad would come and visit us. After he got out of the service, he would come and visit us. And prior to leaving, he'd put Mickey on one knee and me on the other, but he would talk to my brother and he'd say, look, the circumstances are what they are and we can't change them. And we're going to have to, he'd always say, you're going to have to make the best of it. And so it is your responsibility, Mickey, to take care of your younger brother, make sure he feels safe and that you can be as happy as you can. Now that's our choice. And then he would, but he would go through that ritual all the time. And so my brother became more of a parental figure, even at the age of 3, 4, 5, and 6, always with the responsibility of to watch out for his younger brother. Now, foster care was difficult for me. I lived in an area in Utah that there wasn't a whole lot of people of color. My brother was quite a bit lighter. And so whenever they would give the Cain and Abel story in a church, it was a difficult month. And I became angry, young man, and was in trouble a lot, fighting and things of that nature. I wanted to live with my dad. And I pleaded to let me out of the system. And at 14, they finally did. And the condition was for my father, Mickey and I had to stay together. We'd always together. And so Mickey didn't want to go. He was doing great in Utah, but he you know, was already had the mindset of taking care of me. So he went. And Greyhound bus with our stuff packed in a box. We go to Sacramento and join my father. And that was a life changer for me.
And I love your story, because you talk about being in charge of your own destiny. I mean, you started off as a dishwasher in the Marriott Corporation and continued up the ladder through hard work, grit, and determination. You continued to elevate yourself to the point where you were a franchise owner, and then you went into the automotive industry. Share a little bit about, because you know, there's so many people that go easy for her to say, easy for him to say. They don't realize that, you know, we started at zero. You started almost at a deficit because you didn't have the parental support, but you took it, you put up your big boy pants and you said, I'm going to do it and I'm going to do it on my own. So talk a little bit about that mental.
As you know, everything starts when you develop a purpose, and when you don't have a purpose, it causes a fear. And I didn't have one at 18 years old. What was I going to do? I knew I needed to go to college, and at that time in Sacramento, Sacramento City College was free. All they had to do was pay for the books. So off I went. But I was already on my own at 18, living with an apartment to pay with other roommates. And I needed $200. I had to get a job. And I looked at, boy, I was taking 6 classes. I was a bank teller on a program that they had for of folks that were in my category of not having any money. And I read this article or one ad, dishwasher at Farrell's Ice Cream Parlor Restaurant. I said, heck, that would be great. I'll be all by myself. I can do this. And I went and applied, got the job. But the third day, in walks Bob Farrell visiting his restaurants, and he had 25, and he walked up to me and he said, young man, and he put out his hand, and I'm all got food, but he left it there. He wanted me to shake it. So I shook it. He says, you have the most important job of anybody in this restaurant. And I look, I'm the dishwasher, sir. And he said, no, come with me off to the ice cream parlor. And he said, see all these people screaming and yelling, the waitresses, ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention over here? We have Alex came in to celebrate. And he says, we're not in the food business or the ice cream business. We're in the memory business. And he walked back and he showed me the dishes, and that this one had some dried lettuce and this one had some lipstick. What happens if I get in front of Alex's mother? What kind of memory would they have? A bad one. So you're the protector of memories. The next day he had a meeting and he talked about purpose. He said, okay, everybody stand up. Now let's give our purpose. Come on. Nobody knew it. And he looked over at the store manager. And he says, well, it's okay. I'll help you. Farrell's features fabulous food and fantastic fountain fantasies for frolicking, fun-filled, festive families. Now say it again. And we said it again. Now say it again. You never open this restaurant without getting in a circle and doing that. And that was the first lesson of how to use state of mind to move to a positive state to ensure that you serve somebody happy. I waited till after that meeting, and as I wanted to be the last person out, I said, Mr. Farrell, I want to ask you a question. He says, what's that, young man? How does it feel to know what you want? Oh, it's glorious. Hold 1 minute. And he went out to his car, he came back, and he says, David, you have something inside of you you don't even know. You haven't been introduced to him yet. But I want you to take this book, you read it 3 times, and I will be your mentor for the rest of my life. And the book was Think, Think and Grow Rich. I read it, 18 years old, and I've been a disciple of Think and Grow Rich for the rest of my life. I read it 10 minutes every day.
I love it. I just love that. That's so incredible. I had a college professor who gave me Think and Grow Rich at the age of 19. So I understand the impact that it can have on from a standpoint of where you start thinking, and you know, it can control the rest of your life. So tell us a little bit about Stop Drifting.
Well, you know, Stop Drifting is a book that I have 40 years of working in. My mission is to work with employed adults, whether it's speaking at a college, whether it's at businesses, whether I've spoken China, the National Automobile Dealers Association, at Detroit, anywhere someone will listen to me that is about to be employed or is employed and has associates. I want to change the work experience, because most people get up and go to work privately unhappy, suffocating in unhappiness and committing spiritual suicide. And if we can change that, we send home a different parent, a different partner, a different neighbor, and one person at a time, we can give them the freedom to put their attention to family, faith, community, or sound health and create a better world. So I've gotten into just being, I'm in a business every week somewhere, and I still like to just go in and start at the beginning. What do you want? How do you think, what are you willing to give to get it? And then what we do is we build the plans and the turnaround. I've been doing this for 40 years. So I thought about all of the experiences, because every time I go into a place that's not achieving, it's like Groundhog's Day. The same characters, different faces, the same rejectors, different faces. And so I just wrote down all of the things that I've experienced, and I put them on a whiteboard, and then I started to group them and did a fictional character. And then I told this story that is real, everything in Stop Drifting occurred, of how it is that you identify that you're a drifter. How is it that you can switch over and become a non-drifter? So it's two fictional characters, a non-drifter and a drifter, automobile dealership owners that meet by chance, and how their relationship changes the drifter's life into becoming a non-drifter. And it's a fictional story, but everything happened, really did. Everything in it really did happen.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. And one of the things that you specialize in, and I think that I get questions about this all the time when I'm speaking, and that is to define and share the other self that Napoleon Hill talks about in the book. And you actually tell people how to discover the other self. So share a little bit about that for us.
Well, you know, is it for most of us, in my case, it didn't happen to be this way. But most of us as childhood, we remember somebody that just believed they could do anything. You know, you put on a Superman cape, you could fly. In my case, Mr. Farrell told me I had somebody in there buried. I needed to find him. And what I found it is that when you go in and talk about a positive mental attitude, a phrase, frankly, I don't like to use. I prefer to use positive state of mind, because then you can see the way the brain works, and you're either in a positive state or a negative state. If you're in a negative state, Dr. Doubt comes uninvited whispers and seeds the subconscious, and the subconscious only job is to make it occur. But if you can switch to a positive state of mind, that's where you meet your other self. That's where you meet the visionary. That's when you meet the individual that has personal initiative and the drive and the discipline to get things done. And I teach that if you chart all the thoughts you have in a day, and you put them in two columns, negative and positive, what most people find out, 80% of their thoughts are negative. So how is it you become the switch master of your own thought, learn to pivot to positive, a positive state of mind, and that's where you capture that dynamic you.
I love it. I tell people all the time, about 10 years ago, I discovered the definition of worry, and worry and fear is to pray for what you don't want, right? Mm-hmm. And people go, what? Okay, let me repeat that. To worry, to fear is to pray for what you don't want, because you've got your state of mind focused on negative, and you can't have negative and positive at the same time. And once I really recognize that, because I happen to be a champion worrier, I would catch myself and say, instead of focusing on what I don't want, let's reprogram your state of mind to focus on the outcome you do want. And it's magical, because you are choosing to have a positive outlook. So I love that. I think it's very consistent with what you're teaching.
And the fact is that for me, what I always start, I'll go to prisons, I'll go to drug rehab programs, and I love to talk to folks that are that got a chance to recharge. But let's talk about how, what thoughts did you have prior to this occurring? And then when they can identify how negative state of mind creates a negative result, well, now we know. Now all you have to do is put a positive seed into the subconscious, and the formula is the same. So you didn't know it, but you became an expert and you got everything that you put in your mind. Now you just need to learn to seed positive thoughts for positive outcomes. And will it just now happen? No. I tell everybody when they finish our course, now are you going to go up? No, you can't. Because first you got to change a habit, and a controlled habit, just the word controlled, I don't want to do that. You have to welcome to control some actions until they become the success habit, and it's automatic. So is it difficult?
Repeat that for me.
Well, what we believe is this, is that after you learn something, that's not going to cause success. You have to change the habit. And there's two kinds of habits. There's a bad habit, the good habit. But in between, if you want to change it, you have to go into the controlled habit mode. You have to invite a system, a mentor, somebody to help you re-establish your routine into a new habit. And if you do it every single morning, which we call a readiness level self-talk exercise, you do every morning, and you're seeding your subconscious for the next 8 hours, you're going to be a non-drifter naturally. But you have to remember to do the readiness self-talk exercise every morning. It takes 5 minutes, and we teach it, and then we have another one at night that we teach. And I'm sure this process sounds very familiar to you. We have we've kind of put new labels on things to make it more modern and acceptable. And some of the words of Dr. Hill are old, and it makes it difficult to understand.
I love it. So tell us, David, how can people find you? Because not only can they buy the book, but they probably want to connect with you. So how can they find you?
Well, one is David R. for Ray, R. Ibarra, davidribarra.com. stopdrifting.com takes you to my personal website, where you can see all of the things we do, from my foundation to the 5 companies that I own, to a speaking engagement, books, and other things. And the others are eleadertech.com, and that's our software training company, where we zero in on developing the controlled habit change makers. Because if it's not in God's computer, then put man's computer over God's computer, and the two of them can reprogram a habit.
I love that. I'd love to learn more about that. And I think, you know, from a standpoint of finding the resources we need, this is exactly the kind of thing that we need. But I want to, in my last book with the foundation was called Success and Something Greater. I love the foundation that you've created to give back. So share a little bit about that as we start to close.
Well, you know, the first half of my life was definitely motivated by fear. And until you can make the transition of being motivated by joy, you just don't have an amazing life story. It is troubling. And so I thought about how I used to be so afraid that, okay, I got enough to handle this week or this month. But what about next month? How am I going to pay my tuition? How am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? And so I thought that, you know, to do well, there's no reason you can't do well and good at the same time. So in 2004, I started the Ibarra Foundation, where we interview Latino kids like me. And the decision making is not based on grades. It's based on identifying a desire to improve. And if that desires, then we give them a full ride scholarship, and we prepay it. If it's a 2-year, we prepay it. If it's a 4-year, and today I've helped 104 Latino students get their education, and I love doing it, self-funded, and it's just our little thing that we do to give back. And then every Wednesday night, my calendar is open for any business owner, college student, anybody who wants, and it doesn't matter what, you know, what you do, where you're from, you get on my schedule, and it's and Wednesday night I do time tithing every Wednesday night, and I've done over 1,000 businesses and folks that can't afford a mentor, but Wednesday night they get me for free.
And I love that time tithing. I saw that in your bio. I think that's fabulous. We could all benefit from giving some of our time to helping others. I grew up with a father who would ask me each night if he added value to someone's life today. So he's been gone for 14, 15 years, but I still ask myself that every night. So David, thank you so much. You're going to hang in with me because we're going to do another quick interview for the private Facebook group, the Play Big Movement. For all of you that are watching and listening today, rewind, take some notes. What an incredible joy. David, I think you would light up every room you enter. It's such a pleasure to meet you. And thank you for sharing your brilliance and your wisdom with the audience. And for all of you, take it to heart. Go out there and tithe some of your time today to help others and to know that it is that passion. This is that stop drifting mentality. You hear it here, right? Stop drifting, have that purpose and go out and put it to action. We're here to support you every step of the way. So go out and have a fantastic day. And until next time, thank you so much for listening.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to the Play Big Movement podcast with Sharon Lecter. Thank you for listening to this segment of the Play Big Movement podcast. Please subscribe to iTunes and leave us a review, as well as join us in other areas of social media, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn at Sharon Lecter, and for Facebook, author Sharon Lecter. Thank you so much and have a fabulous day.